Welcome to Tenet Meeting Holiness Ministries. My name is Overseer Ken Simmons. We are located in Maryville, Indiana, and today we're going to be in the book of 1 Chronicles 22. We're going to be talking about the temple being built. And David wanted to build a temple for God. This was his heart's desire. But God wanted his son to do it because David had too much blood on his hands. He had a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He did a lot, and God said no.
Right.
So we pick up where in 1 it says, then David said, here shall be the house of the Lord. Here shall be the house of the Lord God, and here the altar of burnt offerings for Israel. Now, what we're going to do as we go through this lesson, we're going to see how this unfolds about how they're going to build this temple. Mm-hmm. But we're going to also talk about the revelation knowledge that's in this scripture about how David is going to talk to Solomon and how you can relate this to yourself building the temple in you. Okay?
Amen.
So 1. It says, then David said, here shall be the house of the Lord God, and here the altar of burnt offering for Israel. When you think about yourself, when you come to Christ, mm-hmm. you have to see yourself as the house of God.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And in your heart, that's where the altar is. We know that because that's where God answers prayers. Say God reads the heart. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if God reads your heart, then you get to understand this is where everything about you is. God reads that. He doesn't read what you're doing on the outside. He doesn't read all of the stuff that you then put in place. He's looking at where your heart is when you do it.
Right.
You see? That's God's determining factor. So David tells Solomon, this is where we're going to build the temple. This is where the altar is.
Mm-hmm.
2 says, David commands commanded to gather together the resident aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he set stone cutters to prepare dressed stones for building the house of God. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have stone cutters who are put in place.
Mm-hmm.
It says there that the aliens of the city. It says, and when you think about yourself, think about all of the things that you have to chisel away to follow Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot of stone cutting go on.
Yes, it is.
Right? You have to cut away a lot of things. And the things that you cut away, you don't want there anyway. You know?
Yeah.
Because God doesn't, you know, it gets to the point where you don't want them there. You don't want to do those things. You want to chip away at them. You want to gradually chip away at all of those things that are causing you to stumble. 3 says, David also provided great quantities of iron for nails, for the doors of the gates, and for clamps, as well as bronze in quantities beyond weight, and cedar timbers without number for the Sidonians and the Tyrians, Sidonians and the Tyrians brought great quantities of cedar to David. So David already had in place what he wanted God's house to be, where he was going to get the materials to build the house. God wouldn't let him build the house, and he was okay with that, and it was fine. He wanted to do it, but he still has a lot to do with the building of the temple. Right? And you have to think about yourself, as the temple in you is already built when you are in Christ. But the people that you bring to Christ are looking at you.
Right.
So you have to ask yourself, how are you building their temple? Are you using the same materials that brought you to Christ? The same criteria. Which means, are you giving them scripture?
Right.
You see what I mean? Five says, for David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all lands. I will therefore make preparations for it. So David provided materials in great quantities before his death. So David understood that Solomon was inexperienced in this. So he provided, he put in place all of the materials that he would need to get this temple built. When you are bringing somebody to Christ, when you are evangelizing to somebody, you need to bring all the materials you need to bring them to Christ. Give them everything that they need, so their transition can be like your transition.
That's right.
You see? Not to say that everybody's going to have the same transition, but at least they'll have the same materials that you used. You know? You have to give them the Bible. You have to give them scripture. You have to, you know, follow what God say, what thus says the Lord. All of those different things you give to people when you bring them to Christ. You can't tell somebody to come to Christ and you don't give them the materials they need to do it.
Right.
David didn't expect Solomon to build a temple that he didn't have the materials for. By David being king, he understood that I have all the connections. I can get all of these things done. Six says, then he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, when you bring somebody to Christ and you evangelize it, and somewhere in your evangelism, you have to bring them to Christ. You talked a good game, but now you have to show them. Bring them to Christ. You have to call them to do something. Come to church. Right?
Right.
Solomon, his son, and charged him. He said he called his son and he said he charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name, because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. God tells him, you did too much. You did a lot. You know, it was in my name and everything, but you shed a lot of blood. For a house of mine that as pure as it's supposed to be, that you're going to build, you've shed a lot of blood.
Yeah.
You know? So, but what I will do is, I will give your son the call and allow him to build. He said, he shall be a man of rest. He won't be in a lot of wars. So when you see that you're about to pass something on, like bringing somebody to Christ, you want to make sure that, you know, in the book of Genesis, you want to create a like kind, which means that as you bring somebody to Christ, you want them to come to Christ and be, because they're going to be an extension of you to a certain degree.
Right.
Who trained you? Right?
Right.
What church you come out of?
Right.
Who your pastor?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They got this thing on the internet right now that they talk about all of these prophets that call themselves prophets, but they don't have a pastor. So it's just, they just run around, they prophets with no pastors, no leader. Because in the Bible, all of the prophets were under somebody.
Right.
They was prophesying to the leaders about what God said.
Mm-hmm.
But you got these prophets now, they just prophesying for themselves. They say, well, God told us to tell you this, but where is it coming from and going to?
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because this holds you accountable. Just like it holds David accountable when he's talking to Solomon about building this temple. Nine says, behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies. Now, we know that in David's reign, he had enemies always going at him. But he says, your son will have rest. He won't be fighting all the wars and stuff that you did. So he'll be perfect for building a temple. It says, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. Mm-hmm. We know that Solomon ended up reigning for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine 40 years of peace?
Mm-hmm.
You live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
There is nobody trying to fight you. You don't hear about nobody trying to come and invade everybody. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was a peaceful time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
10 says, he shall build a house for my name. He shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever.
Forever.
These people that you bring to Christ, God wants to establish peace in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And he wants to reign in them forever.
Right.
Which means he wants to reign in them, and then the people that they bring, and the people that they bring, and so on and so on. Eleven says, now, my son, the Lord will be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord. That you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God as he had spoken concerning you. Now, he explains that the Lord will be with them. So as you build this temple, you won't have to worry about nothing because the Lord will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And as you tell people, okay, as you go on your journey, as you come to Christ, because I'm not going to be able to be with you all the time, but God will.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
When you ask people to come to Christ and they decide that this is what they're going to do, let them know. God will be with you.
Mm-hmm.
He won't leave you nor forsake you. Right?
Right.
12 says, only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the laws of the Lord your God. When God gives you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, as you come to Christ and God is with you, it says when he gives you charge over yourself, you have to know, which means when you do something wrong, you get convicted.
Mm-hmm.
You are to follow that conviction. And a lot of people get convicted and keep going anyway.
Sure.
He says, when you gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the laws of the Lord your God. Which means if you're doing something wrong, repent. Repentance is keeping the law of God.
Right.
Right? 13 says, then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. You'll do okay as long as you repent. Repentance is key to staying in the good graces of God.
That's right.
He says, be careful to follow the statutes. Which means when God, you know the laws of God, which means you're studying in your Bible, you know what God wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do something wrong, you get conviction that sets in. Follow the conviction. And repent. And keep it moving.
Right?
Right? Then he goes on to tell Solomon the same thing God told Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed.
Mm-hmm.
14 says, with great pains I have provided for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze, and iron beyond waiting, for there is so much of it, timber and stones too, I have provided. To these you must add. So whatever is in the house of God, all of these things that I have added to the house, now that I've added to your house, I've given you word, I've given you scripture, you have came to Christ, you understand what you're supposed to do, now it's time for you to add somebody to what I just added to you.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
It's time for me to bring, it's time for you to start bringing somebody to Christ.
Right.
You've been following the statutes, you've been coming to church, you've been reading your Bible, you've been studying, you've been teaching. Now it's time for you to bring somebody to Christ too. Add some people to it. Just like I added you, you add somebody.
Right.
You do not want to go and face God and have to tell God You didn't bring anybody to Christ in your lifetime. That's a conversation you really don't want to have with God.
That's it.
Verse 15 says, you have abundance of workmen, stone cutters, masons, carpenters, and all kinds of craftsmen without number, skilled in working, gold, silver, bronze, iron. Arise and work. The Lord be with you. As somebody coming to Christ, you already got everything you need. You got your Bible. You have teachers, preachers, pastors, right? Apostles. You have the whole armor of God. You got the gifts of the Spirit. You got the fruits of the Spirit. You got everything you need.
Right.
Now go out there and bring somebody to Christ.
That's it.
And God will be with you.
Wow.
That's it.
See how that parallels? 17 says, David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon, his son, saying, is it not the Lord your God with you? He asked the leaders to help. Don't be scared to ask for help. Too many people try to be in Christ on their own. When God made, he built the body of Christ to be filled with more than just you.
Right.
That's why it's called a body of Christ.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of people. We're supposed to help each other.
Right.
You don't want to be a loner in Christ, because you will veer off into some mess. That's an oxymoron anyway, to be alone in Christ. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're never alone in Christ. Mm-mm. And if you are alone in Christ, you're not in Christ. Mm-mm. Get yourself surrounded by other people. Talk to one another. Stop keeping everything to yourself. Doing that is what keeps you secluded from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be secluded in Christ.
Right.
Because seclusion is what are you doing?
Right.
God tells us in the scripture that iron sharpens iron. You can't sharpen a piece of iron with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to grab another piece of iron to sharpen it.
So true.
You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Is it not the Lord your God with you? And he has not given you peace on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the lands into my hands, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. He's like, I didn't already subdued. I did all the groundwork.
Right.
I did all the groundwork. All you have to do is keep it up. Do what God say do, and everything gonna go all right with you. So when you bring somebody to Christ, yeah, you do the groundwork. You bring them. Bring them to church, give them word, have Bible studies, prayer meetings, make them a prayer partner over the phone. You know, do what they need done. Talk to them. Have them speak to the pastors. You do all the groundwork. So all they have to do is just come to Christ and take it all in. Mm-hmm. 19 says, now set your mind and your heart to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord God. So as you talk to these people, tell them, set your mind on Christ. Mm-hmm. You have to get your mind right to come to Christ. You can't be in the world and in Christ at the same time.
Right.
You're trying to serve two masters.
Right.
You can't do both.
That's right.
You only can do one. And God said that people trying to do both, those are lukewarm folks.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I spit them out of my mouth. I don't even... God don't even want to deal with somebody that's half and half. He said, I'd rather you be all the way in the world or all the way with me. I'd rather deal with you that way than you halfway in, halfway out. Mm-hmm. Set your mind on and heart to seek the Lord your God, which means you have to look for Him constantly. You have to keep looking for Him. One of the coolest things to me about being in Christ is the revelation knowledge you get constantly.
Mm-hmm.
When you read, when you study, and you really get to understand who God is, and then He'll show you something new.
Yeah.
And then you have that aha moment. And they never stop. Mm-hmm. As long as you keep studying and reading, you'll always get them.
Awesome.
It says, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, so that the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God may be brought into a house built for the name of the Lord. You want to keep your temple, you, holy.
Right.
Your body is the sanctuary that God rests in. You want His Ark of the Covenant to come into you and rest there.
Right.
Reside there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
David was telling Solomon how important this house of God is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how, and when you read this chapter, you understand. You look at it from David's perspective. He's breaking this down and trying to really get Solomon to understand how important and how much this really means to him and how much it should really mean to you.
Right.
So when you look at it from the perspective of you bringing somebody to Christ, it is, you want to get over to them how important it is to be in Christ and how holy God is.
That's right.
Don't just do this in a halfway manner. Right? You have to really want this for yourself, and the people that you bring to Christ are going to come to Christ according to how serious you are.
Right.
They see how serious you are, and if they see it, because a lot of people, when you bring them to Christ, they come in, they want to be like you. That's why they came to you in the first place.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So how serious you take it is how serious they're going to take it.
Right.
And if they see you not serious with it, they're not going to be serious about it either.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, you'll get somebody in there and you're not serious, and they'll be real serious, and they'll leave you alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen that done.
Some of them will outgrow you if you're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true.
Because if you teach them the right way, you guys are going to grow together. And that's where the iron sharpens iron come in.
Right.
They'll be able to bring something to the table to bring you up. And the only way you're going to get to this point is to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Bringing yourself to Christ first. And then bringing others afterwards. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for these scriptures today. We thank you for allowing us to see the back and forth and the human and spiritual side of Solomon and David's conversation about God's temple. Father, we thank you for the revelation knowledge that went forth today. And we thank you for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We thank you and we praise your name. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray and say amen. Stay blessed and faithful.